Okay, today is, what is the day today?
21st.
Okay, it's 21st of October, 2009, and I'm here in Franklin Lakes, New Jersey, with Nina DiOrio, and your real name is Philomena.
Philomena. It's much prettier.
There you go. And tell me a little bit about where you were born, about your parents, where you first lived, and some of your earliest memories.
I was a twin, and we were born in Greenwich Village, just about 10 minutes from Washington Square Park. And my parents decided that, well, I had an older brother, 3 years older. My parents decided Manhattan wasn't the place to live with three children. So they moved to Staten Island, which was unbelievably rural. It was farmland, just absolutely amazing. And the town we lived in was so pretty. It was called Errico Park. Matter of fact, I was told, it was written up in National Geographic, I don't know, a long time ago, as one of the prettiest places in the country. If you saw it now, you'd be heartbroken. But it was wonderful growing up. It was just wonderful. We had to walk every place, which was great. We walked like half a mile to school. We had to walk to church, walk to the library. Nobody had cars. There was one man who had a car. And then we got a ride, and it was a thrill. Got out and cranked the car, you know. It was fun. But we had to walk to school, and on one really snowy, bad day, my sister and I walked to school, and got home as usual. Mom said, was it easy getting to school? Did you have a problem? We said, yeah, it was tough getting up the hill, Mom. She said, I'll come with you. Well, you guessed it, we ended up pulling her up the hill. But it was wonderful. We'd come home from school, pick wild violets, wild strawberries, daisies. It was just really incredibly
now, how
simple.
Did your parents find it? How did they happen to move out there?
They had a cousin. I don't know how the cousin found it, but my mother had a cousin. As a matter of fact, she had a large house, and which was heavily mortgaged, but that's a whole other story. And she had an apartment, and we moved into my cousin's apartment.
Mm-hmm. And what year was that? What year did you move from Greenwich Village?
Oh, I think we were about a year old.
So that would have been
1912, about.
12.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when you tell me something about your parents, where were they born, and how did they come here, and so forth?
They were both born in Moliterno, mm-hmm. Southern Italy. I guess it's what? Basilicata, that, right. Whatever. And my father had four sisters, and a young woman couldn't get married unless she had a dowry, mm-hmm. and they were poor. So he, I'll back up. He left school when he was in third grade, mm-hmm. because he had to help his father on his farm. And then later on, I don't remember the sequence, but he was in the army at one point, and he was the only one who could write. Where he learned to read and write, I'll never know.
Now, this is the Italian army, just so we're clear.
Oh, his writing was, I have report cards from first through eighth grade, which he signed, and they're just a work of art. Which, and then, I don't know whether he went to the army he left Venezuela. Oh, yeah, he joined the Venezuelan army.
Mm-hmm. He left Italy, went
he
to
left
Venezuela.
He left Italy, went to Venezuela, mm-hmm. to earn some money, mm-hmm. to send home so he could, they could have money for his sister's dowries. Mm-hmm. And they were picking, in Venezuela, they were picking people off the street to serve in the army. Mm-hmm. So he decided he better get back to Italy, and the climate didn't agree with him. But while he was there, he learned Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, he didn't actually serve in the Venezuelan army.
He didn't serve. He got home, but he left before he was drafted. Mm-hmm. And he went back, and I don't know how long he stayed in Italy, but he was about 18.
I heard he was like 21 or 22 when he finally got in here. He had trouble getting in, and he went to Venezuela first.
Right.
And then he didn't like Venezuela, so he went back
to Italy. Mm-hmm. And then he left Italy to come to America. And he had a brother here, Uncle Jim. And he stayed with his brother's family. But the day...
Where did they live?
In the village, Greenwich Village. There was one... I think Thompson, Bleeker, and Sullivan was all Italian. Mm-hmm. And he...
So he came to the States in what year do you think that? What, I was you were born in 1911, so it must have been some years before that.
I don't remember. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But the day after he got here, the first thing he did was buy a newspaper. He thought he wanted to learn English. I know he thought he'd learn English looking at it. Turned out it was a German paper. But, you know, he was an incredible man. I think about these people who with big, huge credit debts, mm-hmm. bad credit, losing him. He learned three languages, English, Spanish, Italian, mm-hmm. was fluent, read and write all of them, mm-hmm. loved crossword puzzles. I never saw my father sitting in a chair, mm-hmm. either reading a newspaper or doing a crossword puzzle. He was just amazing. And he started his own business. I don't know how he got into cork business, but maybe it was because he knew Spanish and mm-hmm. knew some people who imported corkwood, who mm-hmm. knows. But he was, you know, reasonably successful. It was tough at times. He'd come home and worry about meeting the payroll, but, you know, we were all comfortable.
Where was his, did he have
in
a factory?
Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn.
Where was it in Brooklyn, do you remember?
You have the ruler? Cork. With the
Mr. Diorio came and got a small wooden ruler that says on it, Continental Cork Company, for extra select corks, try our Continental brand.
And the address is, I don't know how he came up with that.
The address is 397 7th Avenue, Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he had a cork company. This was your father.
Yes.
And this would have been in the 20s or earlier. You were,
you know, I was so little, I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, so,
I didn't know what was going on.
But he kept that business.
Right till he died.
Okay, so did he go through the Depression with that business?
Yes.
Uh huh.
He wasn't affected though. Mm-hmm. What did affect him was Prohibition.
Mm-hmm.
It got very tough.
Uh-huh.
But then he would get business from pharmaceutical companies and.
Oh, yeah.
He struggled a little, but he wasn't affected. Luckily, they repealed Prohibition, and that's why he voted for FDR, was it?
Okay. Yeah.
And I was upset because I didn't like him.
Didn't like FDR.
Yeah.
Now let's come back a
but
little
anyway,
bit now. So you were born in Greenwich Village, but you were raised in Staten Island. And did you graduate from high school there?
Yes.
And what high school was it?
Curtis. I have a picture of it. You want to see it?
Sure. So now, were you still living in the rental apartment in the cousin's house during
yes.
all this time?
Oh, no. We moved to another apartment,
mm-hmm.
and it was very, very comfortable. There was only one other family, the owner, and they practically adopted us. We used to call them nonna and whatever the word is for grandpa in Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And but it didn't have central heating.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to put a quarter in a meter to get gas.
Uh-huh.
And then when you used up your quarter, you had to keep feeding quarters.
Oh.
Now, and so you paid rent to the...
You paid rent. Thing. And then my father decided we should move to... there was a new two-family house built, and it had central heating.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, we moved.
Now, when do you think that was, roughly?
That was about 6 or 7 years old, about 1918.
Mm-hmm.
A little before, because 1918 was the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother, incredible lady, went around nursing her friends who had the flu.
Mm-hmm.
But that was 1918.
And she didn't get it, I take it.
No, I can go back to the house we lived in at the time. My father was standing here, I was standing here, my mother was cooking dinner, and my father said, you should not be doing this. You'll bring home the flu to the children and you'll get it.
Yeah.
None of us got it. And
so,
I have good immunity now as a result of that.
So this was, 1918 was also the year that we got into the war.
That's right.
War. Do you remember that at all?
Very vividly, because I came home from school, I was going up the steps to the apartment. We had moved into the central heating apartment then, and we had just, funny I should remember this, my mother and my father had just bought what was called a Victrola.
Mm-hmm.
You wound up, I still have some of the records.
Mm-hmm.
And Caruso, she had it on. Caruso was singing over there when I went up there.
World War One song, fight song.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That was written by Irving Berlin, I think.
Yes, yeah, yes.
Yeah. Maybe you remember, if you remember, you say it. Grandma and Grandpa went to the opera and they heard Caruso.
Oh, they...
And they bought his records, which were one side.
That's right. They would go, and oh, they got so dressed up. It's so disillusioning to go into the theater now. People in jeans and sweatshirts. But it was a beautiful time to grow up. My mother would get very dressed up, and she had a Bird of Paradise.
Bird of Paradise hat.
No hat. No, just the feathers, the birds.
Oh, yes.
It was amazing. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And they bought the records, and then every Sunday morning, my sister and I would get in bed with my father. He'd read us the funny sheets. And then we'd have the record on from the opera of the previous night. And my sister and I had to get turns getting out of bed to crank the phonograph.
So now, but they actually went to the opera. They dressed and they went to the opera.
Absolutely.
That was a long trip from Staten Island, I bet. How did they go? They probably took the ferry and then the
train,
subway?
Walked to the train, only about a 5-minute walk. Train and then ferry. Mm-hmm. And then...
Subway.
Or did we have trains? Either the train or the trolley.
You had a train in Staten Island, because
yeah.
I remember.
We had
which
a train
isn't there anymore.
And a ferry, yeah.
One
oh,
that,
yeah.
That used to be yeah. down
there. Yeah, it may have been trolleys rather than a train.
There was actually a train. It was like a Long Island Railroad. I even remember it. Yeah. I remember
you know, I think, I don't remember, this is kind of, I don't know, it isn't relevant maybe, but I remember thinking about it. I look at television, I see so many fat people. I thought there were only two fat, and not obese, but fat, overweight people in all the time I went to school. Mm-hmm. But we all had to walk every place.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
And we didn't have ice cream stores. Mm-hmm. We didn't have candy stores. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, fish was delivered by the horse-drawn wagon. Mm-hmm. Ice cream, when it was spring, the ice cream man came around and rang a bell. But
now, where did you do your shopping in those days? There was no such thing as a grocery store, was there?
They had one grocery store. It was a combination grocery store and butcher, one. Mm-hmm. And that was it.
Did you have the man come and deliver the chickens live? The chicken man?
Yeah.
You tell about
and that. Fish.
Okay. Live chickens?
Yeah.
Did your mother kill them?
Yes. Oh, don't remind me. She'd go down the basement and she'd hold it between her knees, her legs, and I would have to hold on my sister, the feet. Yeah. And when she cut the when she cut the head off, I could, you know, I hated chicken for the longest time. Plus, after she killed it, the boiled water and all the feathers, the smell of feathers. I didn't like chicken for years. And in connection with the killing chickens or eating, buying them live, when we were in the Canary Islands, my husband was a power plant specialist, he was doing a water desalination plant in the Canary Islands. And my son and I spent a whole summer there with him. And young Frank, my son, saw these ladies walking around with a basket and a live chicken in them. He said, Mom, what are they going to do with that chicken? You won't believe this. He was about 13 years old. I said, they're going to take it home and eat it. He said, eat it? You know, packages, all neatly
right.
packaged. And when I told him what the procedure was, he said, ew. I said, you should have been there.
That's funny.
But it was fun. It was fun.
So now you went to high school, you graduated from high school in Staten Island. What did you do after that?
Oh, that was 1929. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to graduate in June of 29, but I was in an honors English class, and I only needed some more credits or whatever, and the head of the English department made me her secretary, so that could count for stenography. Mm-hmm. So I graduated, luckily, just before the Depression, mm-hmm. but I had a terrible time getting a job. Mm-hmm. And I finally got one, and the man for whom I worked was an insurance broker, but he didn't want to share an office. He wanted his own office. So it was a one-man me and this one man, but he hired me on a 6-month trial basis.
What was his name?
Robert Powell. Uh-huh. Robert
Carroll. So he was in Insurance Broker. Was it down in on right. John Street or
it was on the corner of Nassau uh-huh. and Nassau and Broadway.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But after 6 months, he asked me, he gave me a raise in between.
What was the salary?
$18, uh-huh. which was good. Yeah. My friends were working for the Met for $12, mm-hmm. and I refused to work for $12. If things got desperate, I probably would have. Yeah. But so he gave me $18, and after a couple of months, he gave me $20, mm-hmm. Because he was pleased with my work and whatever. But after 6 months, he asked me whether I was willing to stay there. And I said, yes, if you're happy, if you're satisfied. Mm-hmm. He said, well, I have to tell you why I hired you on a... Did I ever tell you this?
No.
On a...
Temporary basis.
He didn't have to tell me this, but he was such a dear man. He said, I didn't hire you because you were Italian extraction.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not only that... he apologized and whatever, but I thought, but that was probably why I was being refused. Even later on, when I got another, if you were Italian and Catholic, you had two strikes against mm-hmm. you.
So, but after 6 months, he liked your work, and
yeah. So he gave me another raise.
Mm-hmm. And how long did you work for him?
Let's see, till the crash. The stock market crash.
That was 29?
October 29.
Oh, so you were there for less than a year.
Yeah, okay. And he got a request for money. He had bought all his stock on margin, so he was wiped out.
Oh.
So he got the telegram that gave him the bad news, had it framed. He said, I'm going to keep this over my desk. It'll teach me a lesson. Mm-hmm. But he wrote letters to 40 of his friends mm-hmm. and business connections, got me a job, which I had for 13 years.
Ah, isn't that wonderful? Where was that?
It originally was at 233 Broadway, the Woolworth Building, uh-huh. which I think is the prettiest building in New York.
It is. And what was the company you worked for?
A National Electric Products Corporation. Mm-hmm. And later on, we became part of Phelps Dodge, mm-hmm. but the president of National Electric liked being independent, so we broke away from Phelps Dodge. Mm-hmm. But I was there a long time.
Mm-hmm.
A long time.
And during the Depression, you were single, and what was your salary?
I can't remember, but when he was looking... When he knew I'd be looking for work, he gave me another raise.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, you don't have to do that. I'll just tell them I'm there. He said, I wouldn't want you to lie.
Oh, that was nice.
He was just...
So you could go looking for a job with a higher salary.
Yeah. I forgot what it was, but I got mm-hmm. the job at a higher salary. Mm-hmm. And he was so nice. He was a bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
And, I have to backtrack a little. When my father and mother heard I was working in an office with only one man... They said, don't tell anybody you're working for an office with only one man. My father said he wanted to meet him. Did I ever tell him?
No.
And I thought it was okay. I probably should have been embarrassed, but I was, this is what Italian people do. So my father had his business in Brooklyn. He took the subway, came into the office, talked to him. They had a lovely visit, and that was it. And my employer, Mr. Powell, respected the fact that my father was concerned about me.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit different.
Mm.
So, a little bit different.
So during the 30s, you worked for National Electric, mm-hmm. What was it called?
Products Corp.
And you were still living at home in...
I lived at home until I was married.
Uh-huh. So that was all through the 30s. Now, your father's business, you said, suffered during the Prohibition because people didn't put corks in bottles. They didn't have bottles to put them in.
But then I remember when synthetic tops came. Here, I remember owning a bottle of wine at the table and looking at the synthetic thing and having a fit. Why are they using this stuff? He used to be very upset.
I'm surprised. I didn't think they had synthetic corks when Trevor was still alive.
Not too many, but some of them were.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably screw-on was.
Maybe.
Or synthetic.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And so during the Depression, he did okay because alcohol was back popular and so forth.
Yeah.
And did he have any partners in his business? Or?
He had a partner, but he had a 51% interest. Mm-hmm. And he found that, I don't remember the details, but his partner was trying to cheat him. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how it was resolved, but my father bought him out. Mm-hmm. And he was completely on his own after that. Mm-hmm.
And so during the 30s, you were working...
Can I jump a second?
Yeah.
There was a story that I heard that you may be interested in, that when your father was operating his business, the unions wanted to take over. And
Oh, yeah.
Aren't you interested in this?
Sure.
Yeah. And he used to play cards once a week with a group of men. And it turned, one of them had a produce, but this seems irrelevant, but it's leading into it. this man was in the produce business, as I said. And it turned out he had mafia connections. Did you know that?
Well, keep telling me.
Yeah.
I'm not sure yet. I know
they were playing cards, and then they would have a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and socialize a little. And this, my father must have mentioned the problem he's having. He didn't know this man had a mafia connection. This man said, "Don't worry about it, Mr. Spina. I'll take care of him." Mm-hmm.
But wasn't there also, didn't they come in and break his machinery? Somebody came in and broke his machinery, because I heard that.
I don't remember.
You don't know that?
That?
Okay.
You probably know some things I don't know.
But they were basically trying to unionize his shop, and so that this friend of the card player
took care.
Now, so you were living at home and working. Did you have other interests during that time? Did you go to the movies?
Oh, we went to the theater as often as we could afford it, mm-hmm. which wasn't too often.
Right. A legitimate theater.
But
the theater, plays, not
oh,
the
yeah.
movies.
Plays.
Right.
Oh, yeah, theater. I was one of 8 members of a sorority.
This was a high school sorority.
No, it was a college sorority, but everybody but me had gone to college, but they wanted me in anyway. And we met every 2 weeks or something, and I guess I was the treasurer. We'd put a quarter in the kitty. When we had enough money, I would get seats for any play they wanted, and I always tried to get the first row back of the loge. That was the cheapest seat, and I was always sure to remind my sorority sisters that people ahead of us are paying $1.60. We're only paying $1.10. But, you know, they were all unemployed school teachers. Mm-hmm. I was the only one who was making the decent salary.
So this was to go to the theater. And what type of things did you see?
Oh, I'm so sad I didn't save my
programs.
Noel Coward. I saw Gertrude Lawrence, Helen Hayes. What was his name? You name it. I saw them. Mm-hmm.
The Barrymores.
Oh yeah, I didn't like her too much. Maybe it was the play, but all the wonderful plays.
And did so? If you went out for an evening with the girls, where did you eat?
Well, there was a restaurant in the Time and Life building. By that time, the company I worked for had moved to Rockefeller Center. Mm-hmm. They were one of the original tenants.
The company you worked with?
Yeah. National. Mm-hmm. And right in the building, on the main floor, on the ground floor, was a restaurant, the name of which I don't remember. We had the most amazing dinner, including a champagne cocktail for $1.10.
Mm-hmm. And this was during the 30s, would it have been, or the 40s?
I would say late 30s and 40s, mm-hmm. early 40s. Mm-hmm. Well, when did Rockefeller's...
Rockefeller Center was built in 1930.
Okay, mm-hmm. then the 30s, definitely, mm-hmm. the 30s.
Now,
so we could afford to go. Dinner was $1.10. The theater ticket was $1.10.
And what was the ferry ride was a nickel?
5 cents. The subway was 5 cents. Mm-hmm. The train was 8 cents. But for $1, I could have round trip transportation and lunch. Mm-hmm. And a morning and evening newspaper.
Uh-huh. Now, tell me your recollections of the Second War, because you were working for in Rockefeller Center during the 30s, and in 1941, the war began. What were your recollections of that period?
You know, interesting enough, maybe when you're young, I don't remember too much about it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't remember Pearl Harbor being invaded?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were sitting in the living room with my mom and dad, and the radio was on. I think grandma was knitting or whatever. Mm. And then we heard FDR come on. I get goosebumps thinking about it. Mm. I mean, we were, of course, in shock like everybody else. Yeah. But I don't remember too much else except seeing a lot of servicemen around and service the women,
women
part
service.
Of the army, yeah. Wax and what was the other?
Waves.
Waves and wax.
Yeah.
So, but during that, it didn't affect your work. You continued to work for that company?
No, mm-hmm. It didn't continue. It didn't affect us at all.
Okay. Now, coming back a second to the Depression, your father did well, but I imagine a lot of his friends did poorly.
Yeah. His closest friends all had their own business, and they weren't too badly affected. The upholsterer, one was an upholsterer. Mm-hmm. The sofa your sister has was... The frames were made by him.
Listen, I have one of those chairs.
Yeah, he made those frames, walnut handmade walnut frames. But
did he have a place in Staten Island or Brooklyn?
Yes,
Staten
he Island. Had a place in Staten Island. But the other people didn't, they all seemed to manage. They mostly didn't have very heavily mortgaged houses. They had very little debt. Mm-hmm. So whatever
many
they,
of them rented, I guess, probably didn't own too many houses.
No. That's the interest. I was talking to Eileen about that one day. All of my father and mother's friends owned their own houses.
Mm-hmm. But they still rented?
No, they were one family.
Oh, when did they buy?
They eventually bought. You didn't get to that yet, actually. Yeah. You didn't get to the point where they bought their own house in Staten Island, your mom and dad.
Oh, my mom and dad.
Yeah, I
thought you meant friends. Mm-hmm. They bought, my mother, we lived in that central heated apartment, and Mom used to look down at this lovely little house with a nice yard, and the author Shalamash, are you familiar?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Wrote them. He and his wife and three children lived there, and we went to school with their daughter, and my mother loved that house.
It was right beyond their house where they were renting, right?
Yeah, right in the backyard. You're the Shalamash house, I'm the other house. Right. And my mother loved that house. Mm-hmm. And Shalamash wrote a play which was considered immoral. Mm-hmm. And he had to leave the country.
Really?
Isn't that incredible?
What was the play?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But they put the house on the market. And
year was that?
I was 12 years old when we moved in.
Oh, so it was very early. So yeah, that was 19, in the early 20s.
1923, I guess that would make it right.
And so if you moved in 1923, do you remember, or you probably don't, do you remember what the house cost?
$10,000.
$10,000. And your father got a mortgage and put up a little cash?
He had a mortgage. He put up, I don't know how much cash, but I also remember the day he paid off the mortgage, and we were sitting at the round dining room table, and he held it up, and he was so happy.
Yeah.
He was just so happy.
And that was probably before the Depression, maybe. So going forward, so during the war years, you continued to work in the city. You were still single.
Now there came single forever.
And so there came a time when you met somebody that you thought you might be interested in. Tell me about that period.
Well,
when was it, and how did you meet your husband?
You're not going to. You sure you want to hear this?
Absolutely, I want to hear. I want to hear everything.
This is. I went to this school.
Curtis High School.
Curtis. I was. How old? 18 when I graduated. No. I was 14 when I got out of grade school.
Grade school.
So I went to the first assembly, or whatever. Not the first, I know. But at one point there was a play, and I don't remember the play. All I remember seeing this tall, handsome man, and I just liked him. It was just some kind of chemistry. Never met him.
Mm-hmm.
Never met him. But I always liked him.
Mm-hmm.
And his name was Frank DiOrio.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
What was your maiden name?
Spina.
Spina. Mm-hmm.
And I was in a gym class with Ida DiOrio, his sister.
Mm-hmm.
But, women in my generation didn't push or try. I never thought, well, it'd be nice if she could introduce me. I just liked him. Mm-hmm. And then years later, I would see him on the ferry boat. He used to walk around the ferry, and mm-hmm. I still thought he was there. I just thought I'd like to know him. And I never met him until 1947.
So 47, you were 36 years old.
And I worked overtime one day. At that point, I had left National, had a couple of other jobs, and I worked overtime and had to, I went on, took the Lexington Avenue ferry, subway. I walked in the door, and I'm walking in, Ida DiIorio sitting there.
We're talking about the ferry?
No, this is the subway.
No, on the subway. Ida's the sister.
The right, sister. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And she was the same age as you?
A year younger. And she I walked over and sat with her, and we hadn't seen one another in, 20 years mm-hmm. or whatever, since I graduated. And she asked me if I'd like to go to the ballet. And she said it was a comic ballet, and I thought, yeah, you know, just good. And then we continued the friendship, and she wanted to know if I was interested in going with her sister Mary, her older sister, who was also Slingle, to a Margaret Mead lecture. And I said, of course.
Was it up at Columbia? Because Margaret Mead taught at Columbia, but it wasn't up there?
No, it wasn't at Columbia. Mm-hmm. I don't know where it was. Mm-hmm. But the day of the lecture, I was subject to migraine headaches. Mm-hmm. The day of the lecture, I had such a really bad headache. Mm-hmm. I was ready to call it off. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, this is a fragile friendship. Mm-hmm. It's new. They might think I'm not interested. Mm-hmm. I better go. Mm-hmm. And I did. Mm-hmm. And we got through about a little after 10 at the Staten Island Ferry. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, good. We were going to make the 10 o'clock ferry. Mm-hmm. The door closed right in front of our nose. Oh, shucks. Yeah. You know, not 2 minutes later, Frank walked in. He had been bowling with Burns and Rowe, people, the company he worked for. Mm-hmm. And his sisters introduced me to him, and that was the beginning.
Oh, yeah. So if you had made that ferry...
If I missed the ferry...
If you had made the ferry, you would have missed the boat.
Missed the boat. You know, it's a little scary to think how a little thing could just...
You might have met him another way.
...change your whole life. So, but it took me all those years.
Yeah.
And then later, not too long after, he called me at the office, and I picked up the phone, and he wanted to see me that night. And I said, well, I'm not dressed. He said, I should have said, not dressed for it. He said, come anyway. And I had this good sense to, and I remember hanging up, and my office was right outside of the office of one of the men I worked for. And I hung up, and I remember turning around and saying, I waited that call for, I don't know, 20 years or whatever.
So that was...
And we had a ball. I mean, the first day we went dinner dancing at the Hotel Roosevelt.
That was in 48. That was after the war.
47.
47. And you went dancing at the Roosevelt. That was the first date?
First date.
So he took you to a pretty classy place.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't hear from him for a while. And I thought, well, that's that, you know, not the end of the world.
Yeah.
But he was traveling a lot out of town. I didn't realize it. Then I didn't. Then we had a date, 4th of July, hiking.
Uh-huh. Where?
So, Staten Island, Toad Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Rough terrain. And he said, well, I'll pick you up after dinner or something. Cheapskate, he should have taken me to dinner. And I... right from the Roosevelt to do your own dinner.
Right.
My mom was out, so I cooked myself some sausage and something else, a salad. And the sausage wasn't cooked properly, trichinosis.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
That was the end of the dating. I must have had 2 or 3 dates before that.
Uh-huh.
So while I was convalescing, he would come to see me and whatever. And, long story short, we had 7 dates when I recuperated. Mm-hmm. We had 7 dates. And he took me to the Waldorf, mm-hmm. again dancing. And on the way home, before we got in the house, he asked me to marry him.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I said, yes or whatever. And we went in. And he had never had a Rob Roy. And we had had one at the Waldorf. That was the first one.
Okay, so you went to the Waldorf, and I said,
we have to have one. But I was so excited that instead of using scotch, I used rye. Uh-huh. We were, you know, sky-high happy, so we didn't know the difference. But, so that was the beginning.
So that was it. And then, did you continue to work when you were married?
No, I got trichinosis, as I mm-hmm. said, and it was a long convalescence. I lost about 15 pounds. Mm-hmm. I lost most of my hair. And here's from my husband taking me around to see his meet his all his friends, his co-workers, and most of whom had introduced sisters or cousins mm-hmm. to him or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they must have thought, he waits all these years. He was 39. Mm-hmm. 2-3 days away from 40 when we were mm-hmm. married. Mm-hmm. 39 years old, this is what he brings, you know. Mm-hmm. But a hank of hair and a bone. So we were married. We were engaged 7 dates later. And that was in October 2nd. Mm-hmm. And we were married the following January 28th.
Mm-hmm. Where were you married?
Where? Mm-hmm. Actually, St. Joseph's Church in Manhattan. We lived in Staten Island, but...
St. Joseph's Church was in the village?
Yeah.
Did you have family in the village?
Yes.
Tell me about that, and where they lived, and how they were related to
well,
you, and so
they
forth.
All used to live. I had an Aunt Rose, who had 6 children, mm-hmm. and her father, mother, and maiden sister lived with her, believe it or not. And
her father and mother were Nina's grandmother and grandfather. Mama Jill and Baba Ron.
Yeah, my grandmother, grandfather, and a single aunt lived with my aunt mm-hmm. who had 6 children. And
where did they live?
They lived the same, the whole family lived in the same building on Thompson Street, mm-hmm. but they moved to a very lovely house on King Street in Greenwich Village.
Did they own the house?
Yeah.
That was unusual to own the house in those days. And they must. What year did they buy it, do you think? They buy it before the Second War?
Yeah, it was before the war. Uh-huh. It was during Prohibition.
So it was during the 20s they bought it?
Yeah.
And I wonder whether they probably didn't pay very much for it. Of course, nobody had any money then.
I don't know. Yeah. But he used to...
What business was he in?
I was coming to that. Did you hear this story? He had a bar, a restaurant, and they would serve food.
A saloon, and I think is what they called it. A saloon?
It was a saloon.
In the village? Food,
yeah. I don't know where, but not too far. Mm-hmm. But liquor was illegal at the mm-hmm. time. But they used to store their supply of liquor in their home in King Street. Mm-hmm. And one of the sons, big husky guy, used to put it in a little red wagon and put a blanket over it, and Marge would sit on it. His sister would
little
sit
girl.
On it. And he'd bring the liquor from home to the bar.
Who was that, Louie?
No, Rocco.
Oh, Rocco.
So that was one of the 6 children.
Yeah.
Two of the six children.
And so... So he had a saloon during, or a restaurant, I guess they call it, during Prohibition in the village. So now, did you...
He made out very well.
Yeah. He was selling liquor when it was illegal. He made out very well.
Now, during that period, going back to that period, did you, during the 20s and 30s, did you spend much time in the village or no? You'd go to visit your relatives?
Oh, yeah. Every time I had a date, I would end up at my aunt's house. I'd walk in and find a place to sleep. Yeah. And then later on, my sister married quite a bit before I did, mm-hmm. and they lived just 4 or 5 houses from us, which was wonderful, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. on the same street.
So let's go now. After the war... you were married. You stopped working.
I stopped working after I had trichinosis. Yeah. I just couldn't work anymore. Yeah. I was just worn out.
So you got married, and St. Joe's in the village. Did you go on a honeymoon?
Yeah, we went to the Poconos, of all places.
Well, you had a reception, too.
In January.
Don't forget the reception. You had a reception.
Oh, yeah. You were 3 years old, and he remembers the reception. But
where was it?
The rooftop of the McAlpin, which is no longer.
Yeah, around 34th Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you had the reception there, and then you went on your honeymoon in the Poconos. For how long?
I don't remember. Probably about a week.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then when you came back, where did you live?
Oh, in my aunt's house in the village. I had a cousin who lived there, her daughter. One of her daughter, Marge, the one who used to sit on the little wagon, was married, but she had bought a house in Nutley. Mm-hmm. So luckily we had her apartment to move right into, and I had family there, family up the street, mm-hmm. which delighted my husband because he traveled a great deal, mm-hmm. and he'd be away weeks at a time, mm-hmm. sometimes months at a time, mm-hmm. so he felt mm-hmm. very comfortable knowing you had family.
Do you remember you had to pay rent to your family?
$60.
16 or 60?
60.
60. And how big an apartment was it?
A kitchen, a very big kitchen, which used to be a bedroom, mm-hmm. actually. And then a room it used to be two huge rooms, I think. But they divided the kitchen and the living room and made what we used to use as an office and dressing room with closets. Mm-hmm. But originally the house was one family. Mm-hmm. They called it parlor floor basement, and then this really nice large apartment with mm-hmm. big, two large rooms separated by a pocket door mm-hmm. and a pier mirror at each end. Mm-hmm. When you open the door, there's beautiful mirror at each end mm-hmm. with the marble, mm-hmm. all the gilt, mm-hmm. absolutely beautiful. And and then they had an apartment up second floor. Mm-hmm. The main floor was the kitchen, two kitchens, a work kitchen, eat-in kitchen, and dining room. Mm-hmm. The second floor was the living room mm-hmm. and bedrooms mm-hmm. for my aunt. And then there were two rental floors, uh-huh. and we were on the third floor, uh-huh. which meant we had, and very high ceilings, parquet floors.
And you had your own bedroom too, right? You also had a bedroom in your apartment.
Oh, my apartment, right. Yeah. What was my bathroom used to be the kitchen way, way back, mm-hmm. and they had a dumbwaiter to bring the food from the kitchen to the basement.
Mm-hmm. Now the... So tell me a little bit about your husband's job. What did he do that made him travel and so forth?
He was a startup power plant engineer, mm-hmm. and they were very rare. Mm-hmm. Last time I talked to the president of his company at a company picnic, Frank had retired, mm-hmm. and he told me they really missed him because only 13 people at the time who did the startups. Mm-hmm. And he had to be there.
How did he learn that?
I don't know. He could do anything. Mm-hmm. I'm not exaggerating. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look around this house. He built closets. There was nothing he couldn't do. Mm-hmm. There was nothing he couldn't do except cook, which probably was just as well. But he went to, Venezuela. No, not Venezuela. He did jobs. Well, for one thing, he did every state in the union. He had to inspect all the government power plants. Mm-hmm. Every state in the union. He went to, he did jobs in Greece, was gone over 3 months. Turkey, Greece, Germany. Well, Italy before we were married. Saudi Arabia,
Nigeria,
Canary Islands, Nigeria,
Puerto Rico,
Greenland. Oh,
and he traveled everywhere. He traveled. And once in a while, you would travel with him.
Well, I had a baby.
Oh, right.
I wouldn't mm-hmm. leave him. I was ready to leave him with a nurse mm-hmm. who lived in the neighborhood and stayed with him in Greece, and he had a fit.
Mm-hmm. Who was he? Your husband?
My husband.
Yeah, sure.
Which was smart. I know I couldn't even think yeah. about it. Yeah. But, summer vacations, mm-hmm. we spent the whole summer, an Easter vacation, mm-hmm. and a summer mm-hmm. in Puerto Rico, mm-hmm. a whole summer in Bermuda, mm-hmm. and a summer in Canary Islands. Mm-hmm. So it had its good points, but it was hard.
So he worked for many years, and you raised your son. Did your son go to Curtis High School also?
No. He went to a private, we had really bad schools in Staten Island, great schools. He went to a private Catholic academy within walking distance, and then he went to a very good academy in Brooklyn. He had to take three buses, but he loved the teachers. They were great. One of his professors had two doctor as was working for a third.
Was that Severian?
It's still considered a very good school.
Severian Academy?
Yeah. And
but then you moved here.
He was in his sophomore year when we moved.
Moved here to Franklin Lakes.
Yeah.
So he finished.
He liked the school.
So now, Nick was telling me that you keep active in a lot of political things here in Franklin Lakes. Why don't you tell me a little bit how you got involved in it?
Not political, really.
The local politics about the misuse of the seniors' facility and things on that order. You go down to town hall and you talk to the...
Basically, maybe political wasn't the right word. Tell me what keeps you active now.
Well, my husband was away a lot, and I never drove. Mm-hmm. But my son used to say, don't drive, Mom. You lose your friends. I have incredible friends. I don't know how it happened, but... Oh, I know. I joined the women's club. A friend, a woman...
When did your husband pass away?
10 years ago.
So was it before that you became active?
The minute I moved here, I became active because he was away so much. Mm-hmm. Then my son went off to college not too long after, so I kept busy. Matter of fact, I thought I might go through this empty nest syndrome. I started to walk up to the high school. I thought I'd get a job. Halfway, I thought, what am I thinking? Mm-hmm. I turned around and came right back. Mm-hmm. But I joined the women's club, and it was wonderful. It was small and very friendly, and I made very good friends. Matter of fact, two of the women, I became lifelong friends with. Everybody is dead now except all my young friends. But they and their husbands... And my husband and I would go out to dinner and do things together. We're three couples. Then I met another couple through Newcomers Club. That was the start. My best friend I met through Newcomers. Uh-huh. And I was told they'd have somebody pick me up for a meeting. And I went to the door for a luncheon or something. And there was this tall blonde lady. And she turned out to be my best friend. I've known her for 42 years.
42 years. What's her name?
Marion Kaprowski. Uh-huh. And she and her husband, she was kind of reserved and didn't mix too well. So she and her husband, my husband and I, would just go out to dinner or take dancing lessons or something. But she never liked going with other of my friends. And then in addition to Newcomers, Women's Club is it's different now. They have a lot of big fundraisers, make lots of money, right? But when I was a member, we did things one-on-one. We went to the Christian Healthcare Center to feed the patients, one of whom asked me to marry him. then we started the visiting nurse, I was helping to take care of my mom, visiting nurse came to see her and asked me if my women's club would be interested in starting a friendly visitors group. Mm-hmm. So I took it up with the board and they said yes, and we started it, and I assigned eight ladies to people in Franklin Lakes who were referred by the visiting nurse who needed time to go out if they were caring for somebody, were homebound, and it was so rewarding. It was wonderful. The best example I can think of, without taking all day, was a couple who was celebrating a 50th anniversary, and the woman to whom I had assigned this couple thought we should have a birthday party for them, and the different members of the club, all the members who were involved with friendly visitors, brought something. We brought champagne and a cake and presents and chocolate, you name it, balloons. It was just so wonderful. And the lady just sat there very quietly, and her son came in. She hadn't seen him in a long time. He came to the party. And a week later, we heard she became ill. And she was in the hospital. She had brought her box of chocolates with her. And I think I'm going to cry. She told the nurses that was the first party she ever had.
Oh, my goodness.
And she was celebrating her 50th. Yeah. And now I think about what these women are doing, writing checks. I don't like it. I like that one-on-one stuff. Yeah.
Do you still stay active in any of that?
I took on more than, Meals on Wheels, mm-hmm. which was I probably did more than I should, but nobody was doing, somebody would quit an assignment and I'd pick it up. We had a president who liked being president, but he didn't do very much, so I'd pick up the slack and it kept me awfully busy. Mm-hmm. But when I became, what happened to me? Oh, I had lung cancer and I was long recovering and I luckily found a very dear friend who's very, very capable. And she took over, I thought temporarily. Mm-hmm. She sends out the bills, she does the schedules, all the stuff I used to do. So I just about a month ago, I resigned officially, mm-hmm. but I did it for 24 mm-hmm. years. Mm-hmm. But it was really, really good. It was fun. It was fun.
And you don't have a car? No. Did you ever learn to drive?
I'm a klutz.
So you never learned how
to... I'm like my father. You want to get that coffee maker, top of my cap? My father was a very bright man, no question, but he just couldn't... With me, it's like being colorblind. I'll look at something and I'll say, and a friend of mine will say, just put it together. I can't. It's just like being colorblind. I get it from my father.
I'm not sure what you want.
The coffee, the Italian coffee maker.
Which is where?
Up here on the left.
In the kitchen?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, okay.
My mother was visiting her niece in Spring Lake, and my father never went to church, but his best friend was a Catholic priest, mm-hmm. and they would sit up and talk forever, mm-hmm. and they liked black coffee.
This was down in Spring Lake?
No, my mother was in Spring Lake. This was in Staten Island. Uh-huh. So my father and the priest were on their own, and they wanted a cup of demitasse. So my father went and got the demitasse thing. Hot. He and the priest couldn't figure out how to put it together.
What about you? Did you know how?
They could not figure out how to put it together. You do it.
Oh, I know how to do it.
I mean, no problem.
But it's very interesting. And is there anything else that you want to tell me about your life that's of interest? You've told me an awful lot of interesting things.
To me, it isn't of interest. It's just routine.
Well, but it's true. But the you have memories of periods of time that most people don't remember
now.
Yeah.
My first job.
Oh, okay.
The one-man office job. He was a bachelor, mm-hmm. and which was another thing that worried my mother and father. But anyway, he used to have lunch dates with many, many friends, and they would meet him in the lobby or at the restaurant or something. And he had a date with one of his friends, and the friend came up to the office about a half hour before the date, and he walked in and put his arms around me and kissed me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this naive 18-year-old, I panicked. I smacked him.
Where'd you hit him?
Well, that was a natural.
Where'd you hit him?
Smack in the face. I can still hear it. And he left, of course. And then when my boss came in, I burst into tears. And I told him what happened. And I was afraid he was going to fire me because I hit his friend. Mm-hmm. But he was so upset. He was so upset, he said, that man is barred from my office. Anytime he wants, I'm going to meet him for lunch, he'll meet me at a restaurant. And if anything like that ever happens again, we had one of these, an old building with a mottled glass door. He said, take a paperweight and just throw it through the door. It gets him.
Get attention.
But I was just, then another time when I worked for National, we had like a partition, didn't go all the way up, but a little area was partitioned off. We could just wash our hands because it was a stock room where we'd send out literature on our many products. And I was in the stock room getting literature to mail to somebody. I even mailed something to my husband from there one night, years before I knew him. Yeah, but anyway, the one man came in to wash his hands, ostensibly, and he kissed me. So I hauled off and smacked him. That was my natural reaction. Right. And he used to bother all the girls. They'd be at the file cabinets. He'd put his arm around them and sing a song. He was absolutely out of order. But he came out, and his face was beet red. Everybody in the outer office heard the smack. The girls thanked me because he was, you know, he never bothered anybody again. But he had the colossal nerve. He left the company. He was starting his own business. He asked me to work for him.
Oh, asked you to work for him.
Can you believe it?
I knew you were good.
I know what the answer was. Okay, it's on again. You're talking about the Wall Street crash.
Yeah. The day it happened, I left. I was walking from Cedar Street to Broadway. I was going to lunch. And there was this beautiful building. I think it's Equitable Life on
Broadway. Yeah, 120 Broadway.
Yeah. And there was this beautiful column. A 40-year-old woman had just lost all her money. She committed suicide. I can still see the bits of her. Mm-hmm. Body stuck in those columns.
She jumped out a window or what?
The roof.
From the roof.
Mm-hmm. Or wherever I... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's my most vivid recollection of
the depression.
The depression. Yeah. Oh.